In water, amale pure, yata vidi, according to Vedic rules, kriya of rituals, kalapam, the entire sequence, paridaya, after dressing, vasasi, in lower and upper garments, chakara, he executed. Sanya upagama, worship at dawn. Adi, and so on. Sattama, the most saintly of personalities. Huta, having offered oblations. Anala, to the sacred fire. Brahma, the mantra of the Vedas, namely Gayatri. The japa, he chanted quietly. Vak, speech. Yata, controlling. Translation. The most saintly of personalities would then bathe in sanctified water, dress himself in lower and upper garments, and perform the entire sequence of prescribed rituals, beginning with worship at dawn. After offering oblations into the sacred fire, Lord Krishna would silently chant the Gayatri mantra. Purport. Srida Swami points out that since Lord Krishna was in the disciplic succession from Kanva Muni, he offered oblations to the fire before sunrise. Then he chanted the Gayatri mantra. I'll read the next two verses also. Papastayakam udyantam taya yit bat manakala devan rishi pitrin vriddhan vipran atyacha chatmavan denunam rukmasinkinam sadvinam mautika srajam payasvininam kristinam savasanam suvasasam dadarupya kurakranam Shumatyati lais saha alankritebhyo viprebhyo batvam batvam dine dine. Translation. This day the Lord worshipped the rising sun and propitiated the demigods, sages and forefathers, who are all his expansions. The self-possessed Lord would then carefully worship his elders and the brahmanas. To those well-attired brahmanas, he would offer herds of tame and peaceful cows with gold-plated horns and pearl necklaces. These cows were also dressed in fine cloth, and the fronts of their hooves were plated with silver. Providers of abundant milk, they had each given birth only once and were accompanied by their calves. Daily the Lord gave many groups of 13,084 cows to the learned brahmanas, together with linen, deer skins, and sesame seeds. Purport. Srida Swami quotes several Vedic literatures to show that in the context of Vedic ritual, a batva here refers to 13,084 cows. The words batvam batvam dine dine indicate that Lord Krishna would give the learned brahmanas many such groups of cows on a daily basis. Srida Swami further gives evidence that the usual practice for great saintly kings in previous ages was to give 107 such batva, or groups of 13,084 cows. Any accountant here? How many cows is that? 13,084 times 17. How many cows is giving away? Thus, the total number of cows given in this sacrifice, known as manchara, is 14 lakhs. The words alankritebhyo viprebhya indicate that in Lord Krishna's kingdom, The Brahmanas were given nice clothes and ornaments and were thus well attired. In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada writes with striking and profound insight on these pastimes of Lord Krishna. The reader is strongly urged to study this book, which contains an invaluable wealth of information and commentary on the pastimes described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Our humble time here can never equal the consummate purity and skill of our great master. Still, as a service offered at his lotus feet, we are simply presenting the original Sanskrit text of the 10th canto, word for word meanings, a clear translation, and essential commentary, for the most part based on the statements of the great spiritual masters in our line. Om Magyana Timlandasya Gananjana Slakaya Chaksum Letam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaptane Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namne Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nivise Sasunya Vadiva Sichade Shatarine. So as recommended by the competitors to the 10th canto of Bhagavatam here, that one read Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the book written by Prabhupada. I was looking up the first part of this chapter, and Srila Prabhupada, he went to great length to distinguish the difference between Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Jiva, the living entities. First, he quoted the line from the Svetasvata Upanishad. He quoted a part of this, the shloka from the second line, but I'll quote the whole thing. Tam Ishvaranam Paramam Maheshwaram Tam Devatanam Paramam Jadaivatam Patim Patinam Paramam Parastat Vidam Devam Bhuvanesham Ijam. The Supreme Lord is the controller of all other controllers, and He is the greatest of all the diverse planetary leaders. Everyone is under His control. All entities are delegated with particular power only by the Supreme Lord. They are not supreme themselves. He is also worshipped by all demigods and is the supreme director of all directors. Therefore, he is transcendental to all kinds of material leaders and controllers and is worshipable by all. There is no one greater than him, and he is the supreme cause of all causes. So sometimes people get, without properly understanding the true nature of Krishna, when they read this part, they start to question, oh, Krishna is worshipping the sun god. He is worshipping the demigods. Maybe he's an ordinary person. And the demigods are higher than him because he's worshipping them. But therefore Prabhupada makes it very clear in the beginning of this chapter, establishing the position of Krishna by quoting from this verse. And the verse went on, go on to say, Natasya kayam karanam chavichate Natasamas chapja dikasya chisate Parasya shakti vidaiva shriyate swabhaviki jnana bala kriyacha. He does not possess bodily form like that of an ordinary living entity. There is no difference between his body and his soul. He is absolute. All his senses are transcendental. Any one of his senses can perform the action of any other sense. Therefore, no one is greater than him or equal to him. His potencies are multifarious, and thus his deeds are automatically performed as a natural sequence. One of the qualities of Krishna is that he is omniscient. Any part of his body, they are all transcendental. And any part of his body can perform the function of any other part. The living entity, or in this material the conditioned soul, they have this body imposed upon them. So it's a different thing, the soul and the body. But for Krishna, the soul and the body is the same. It's all absolute. Because he's Sachit Ananda Vigraha, his form is transcendental. Sachit Ananda is studies eternal knowledge and bliss. That's why you have this commentator to Bhagavad Gita in the end of 7th chapter, where Krishna said, you become my devotee, bow down to me, worship me, so on. And in the commentaries, this famous commentator said, actually it's not to Krishna you should surrender to. It is to the unborn within Krishna. That goes to show that this person, although claims to be a great scholar, even going to the extent of making commentaries to Bhagavad Gita, he does not know what he's talking about. Just from that one line. Because what is the born and unborn within Krishna? There's no difference. So he's comparing Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead to, as an ordinary person. So therefore, Prabhupada go to great length establishing this point in the beginning of this chapter and throughout his writings, that Krishna, he can see with his eyes. Of course he can see with his eyes. He can eat with his eyes. He can create. Just by his glance, the creation took place. When we make offering to the Supreme Person, to the deities, he can just glance at the offering and accept the offering. Or he can accept the offering by through his ears, by hearing the offerings, mantra. So that's the difference. The living entity cannot, the conditioned soul cannot do that. They have to eat through the mouth, they have to see through the eyes, they have to hear through the ears. We are so limited by our so conditioned because of this material body, which limit our ability in doing so many things. So but Krishna, actually, he does not have to work. And he told Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, because Arjuna is refusing to fight. So Krishna is telling Arjuna, he said, O son of Prita, there is no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems. Now, nor am I in want of anything, nor have I a need to obtain anything. And yet I'm engaged in prescribed duties. Someone who is in want of something, who is in want of some results, he has to work. Why does people go to work? Money is the honey. And what do you do with the money? They try to get honey. what is those honey? Different forms of science gratification. That's why they work. Generally, people, if they get what they want, they will not work. Nobody really likes to work. Who enjoy going to work? Who enjoy getting up in the morning going to work? Nobody likes to work. You like to work? Come across here. I mean, you're not talking about working for Krishna. You're working, just working for the money and the honey. So, and that's what makes the world goes round. There's a famous song by this Swedish band, ABBA. Money, money, money is the... it makes the world goes endless, and our song makes the world goes round. That's what people are working for. So, but Krishna, he's not in need of anything. He's the controller of everything. He's the controller, maintainer, destroyer of everything. Everything comes from him. And he's Atmarama. He's self-satisfied. So he does not need to work just to get something. So why is he performing all these activities? Daily activities like any ordinary person. Many, like Prabhupada said, just to set an example. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yad yad achariti sreshtat, tat tat evetaro jana, saya pramanam kurute, lokastat anavatate. Whatever great men do, common men follow. And whatever standard he sets, the whole world pursues. So, Krishna appeared in the Yadu dynasty. He appeared as a king. So he was performing the function of a king and also a householder, performing all the different duties of a householder. Rising early in the morning, giving out a bath. As Prabhupada said, even though sleeping in the bed, be nicely embraced by the wife, he still get up. He does not need alarm clock. In the morning, the clock just coo-coo-coo-coo, and he's up. You know? And the birds are chirping, and they're up. Of course, in some countries, the weather changes. You know, in the winter time, you wait for the cock to... First of all, in the city, there's no cocks cooking. We're talking about natural living. if you live in the northern countries, in the winter time, the sun don't appear until like maybe 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. You cannot depend on the sun rising to get up. So anyway, Krishna just get up to perform his duties. So, and Prabhupada pointed out in many sentences that when Krishna is setting this example, it's for us to follow, but not to imitate. Krishna is setting this for us to follow what the duties of a householder. What are the duties? There are so many different duties according to Vana and Ashram. And the duties are all different. In the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, Narada Muni explained to Maharaj Yudhisthira all the different duties for the different Vanas of Brahmas, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. And the duties for the Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. And also duties for the women. So many different duties. And sometimes the duties from one ashram to the other ashram may contradict, or from one vana to another. So therefore one has to be very clear, although sometimes devotee we may claim we are transcendental to one ashram, yet we are in this material body and we have to perform our duties according to this one of the vana ashram. We may not be bound by it if we are transcendental. Yet we have to act accordingly. If we are brahmachari, we act according to the rules of the duties of brahmachari. So it's the same for the grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. Brahmachari means austerities, simple living. They are just menial servant of the guru. They are yes men. They become just yes men. The guru say, yes sir, yes sir. Yes, Guru Maharaj, yes. Whatever I say, I do. Their independence is completely surrendered to the instruction and order of the Guru. That's Brahmacharya life. However, nowadays, there's sometimes there's a blur between Brahmacharya and Grihastha. They call the bachelor ashram. It's becoming a pretty big ashram nowadays. Neither Brahmacharya, neither Grihastha. So, I don't know what kind of prescribed you this is recommended. It's not mentioned in the Shastra. So, I don't want to speculate. But in any case, just surrender to Krishna as best you can. So, and the Grihasthas, there may be some more facilities for the senses, but then the austerities is to give in charity. Yes, you can earn, but give in charity. It's one of the main austerities of the grihastha. In fact, in Vedic times, it's recommended you grihastha before you eat, you go out your door and say, shout three times, not quietly. Shout out three times. If anyone has not eaten, please come and eat now. Anyone has not eaten? Alright, nobody come. Alright, let's go. That's why I love it when I open Crossway in the morning. When I get a chance to open. So there are already guests waiting, and so I shout out, anyone not eaten, please come and eat. So these are some of the austerity. And Vanaprastha is also under austerity to perform, under duties and sannyas. So one has to perform. Even though one may be transcendental by his, but follow these duties to set an example for others to follow. Like the Paramahamsa, he's beyond all these destinations. He's beyond all these riches. But still, that's Srila Prabhupada. He's beyond all this. But still, he's following the duties of the, sometimes even the duty of sannyas. So I remember one time, it was it was in a room with a servant or something, and one Mataji came in, wanted to speak to Prabhupada, and the servant was going to leave. And Prabhupada said, "Sit down." In Sanskrit, "Sit here, sit down." So he was showing the example to his disciple, a sannyasi, he doesn't speak, alone in a room with a woman. Because in the Bhagavatam, he's explained, sometimes one thing, in the Bhagavatam he explained that one should not even be alone with the mother or sister. And one may question, this low-class man, you know, what do you do with your mother and sister? The only low-class people will have some, you know, have fall down, whatever, with the mother and sister. But the last line of the verse said that even a learned person's mind can become disturbed. The warning is even for a learned person, not just any person. So one has to heed all these instructions from the Shastra carefully, and not just whimsically say, this is not meant for me. I'm beyond this. There's a reason for those instructions. There's a reason for it. All these instructions, all this warning given, there are reasons. If you be reading the Mahabharata, even Ramayana, even great demigods, or great sages, can fall down at the sound of the tinkerbell. Vishwamitra Muni were performing severe austerities. So severe austerities. And became so powerful. And of course, anytime someone performs great austerities, Indra start getting worried. Oh, here's a yogi performing austerity, you want to take over my position. So he sent the apsaras. And the apsaras doing the dancing, and with the tinker bells and the anchor bells and whatever bells. And the yogis, when they perform austerity, they have half-closed eyes. You know, you close your eyes, you fall asleep. And you open your eyes, you get distracted by so many objects. So half-open, half-closed eyes. Meditate on the tip of the nose. But you cannot close out the ear. So you hear the cling, 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 and then the yoga was finished. Meditation, austerity was finished. And a girl, what's the name of the girl again? Chintana?
Menaka.
Yeah, that's the apsara. But the daughter's name?
Shakuntala,
famous lady. Shakuntala was born. So one has to be careful. So especially one is in the Brahmacharya ashram or Sannyas ashram, one is careful. Even great sages, powerful sages, Vishwamitra. Just to give you some idea how powerful it is, he is. There was this one king. Somehow he got this idea that he wants to go to the heavenly planet. And he has his guru. His guru is like not really enemy, but like the competitor. Agastya Muni?
About Trishanku?
He wants to go heavenly planet in the same body. Vasishtha Muni. And Vasishtha Muni said, "No problem. I can arrange sacrifice. You can go back home, back to Godhead. I mean, to the heavenly planet after this life." He said, no. I want to go this life, in this body. And the guru said, "This is ridiculous. What are you asking? You can't go to the heavenly planet in this body." He said, "That's what I want." So his guru rejected him. And he went to Vishwamitra. And Vishwamitra Muni also said, "This is ridiculous. What kind of benediction are you asking?" He said, "Yeah, my Guru Vasishtha Muni said the same thing." He said, "Did he say that? I'll do it." And he performed yagya, and by his power, he actually sent him to the heavenly planet. And there, his king, what's the name again?
Trishanga.
He came flying like missile up to the heavenly planet. And Indra was informed, "This king is coming up the heavenly planet in this human body." He said, "What? No way. Down." And he came down. As he was coming, dive bombing down, he called, "Vishwamitra, help! Why are you coming back down? He said, Indra sent me back. He said, no, go back up. Phew, he went up. And Indra said, down. And he went up and down, up and down. After a while, he said, this is getting very troublesome, you know. Up and down, like a roller coaster. I said, I don't want to go to Heavenly Planet anymore. He said, no, I promise you, I'll have to do it. So by his power, he created a heavenly planet for this king. See how powerful this is, one of the cities. And they can create and destroy planets. One of the eight cities, Astra cities. He created that, but what happened? He used all his power, he could not maintain it. And it was coming crashing down, the heavenly planet. And he has to call to Vishnu for help. So Vishnu came. Did something help? And he told him, he said, Vishwamitra, next time leave to creation maintenance to me. That's my job. So this, you see what happens when you start performing duties of someone else? You get into trouble. So he was so powerful, yet anchor belt? No. So what to say of us? Just pretty ordinary jivas. Of course, in one sense, it's not ordinary. Anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness is not ordinary. But we are not as powerful as great sage like Vishwamitra. So we have to be very cautious in our devotional service. Very, very cautious. Performing our different duties carefully. And not looking at, oh, sometimes you find this friction. The brahmachari, what is the grihasa? Why is he doing that? And the grihasa, this brahmachari, no responsibility, space out. You want to learn responsibility? Become a grihasa. Misery, love, company. So, but one should respect. That is different. Different ashram, different responsibility, different duties, different path that we are following that leads to the same goal. Of course, the underlying principle of all that is to serve Krishna, engage in devotional service. So Krishna was performing all his duties of household very nicely, setting a very high standard, rising early in the morning, worshipping the sun, and showing his respect, getting dressed, offering obeisance to the cows and brahmanas and demigods. How the cows and the brahmanas are revered in the Vedic time. I was shocked to hear. All this while, I was thinking one of the greatest export of India was IT. IT specialists. IT consultants or software engineers and all this. Silicon Valley is full of them. But then someone told me, I don't know if you can confirm it's correct or not, it's actually the biggest export is beef. Is that right?
Leather.
Leather, beef, or cow produce. When I heard that, I was shocked. Land of Dharma, supposedly. The cows are meant to be, you offer obeisances to the cow. They're worshipable. Therefore, we offer prayers. When you make our offering, we offer to Krishna, namo brahmanya devaya go brahmana hitaicha jagadita Krishna govinda namo namaha. Offer obeisances to Krishna, who is the protector of cows and brahmanas. And how every day Krishna is giving in charity, giving charity to the brahmanas, cows. Sometimes also we think brahmanas are supposed to be poverty stricken. Yes, they may be practicing that austerity of poverty stricken, but they're not in need of anything. Because the society is set up in such a way that they're receiving lots of charity. So some of the function of the brahmanas is that they learn the shastra, teach the shastra, worship the deities and teach how to worship deities, accept charity and give charity. Brahmanas will receive charity, but they also love to give in charity. They receive so much, but they live a very simple life. What am I going to do with all this? And then give. In this way, Because of this culture of giving, taking and giving, there was no lacking in society. Everyone gets what they want. So what do you do? A grihasa was giving charity to the brahmanas. Nowadays, how often is this practice? How did anyone practice giving charity to the brahmanas? Sometimes you give charity when you go to the temple. You give to the deities. You give to Krishna. But brahmanas, how did anyone follow this practice of giving charity to the brahmanas? Of feeding the brahmanas? But Krishna showed the example of it's not just worshipping the deities, the demigods, but also giving charity to the brahmanas. And giving very generously too. What's the word used here? Bhatvam. One bhatvam is 13,084 cows. Not just old cows, but cows which are giving abundant milk. They only have one calf. And they give abundant milk. When the cows are given, they're accompanied by the calf. And they're nicely decorated. Even the hoof are decorated with silver, nicely decorated horns, silk clothing, garlands. So this very generous when they give. You see how when they give in charity, when this is here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the charity that is given, even the cows are nicely decorated. So you can feel the person who is giving it is actually giving it generously with an open heart. Not that you give. It hurts. You know? Sometimes you have to get charity from someone, you have to squeeze a dollar from someone. Charity should be given in abundance. Yes, give. It's no lacking. Plenty where it comes from. Krishna is not a poor man. So you give in charity and take care of the brahmanas. Such a wonderful culture. So in this way, everyone is taken care of. So I will not go too long in this class, but I want to add 5-10 minutes to the class on a different subject. Is that right? And the different subject is, today is the 3rd of November. In 16 days, the storehouse of love of Godhead will break open in Melbourne and Victoria. And the devotees will have a great opportunity to follow in the footsteps of the Panchatattva. What does a Panchatattva love to do? The Panchatattva love, they enjoy breaking open the storehouse of love with Godhead. They just broke it open. And then just distribute. And their complete existence is just distributing this love of Godhead everywhere. And the more people get affected by this love of Godhead, the more blissful they become. And the more happy and satisfied they are. So here we have a chance to do that. To assist or take part in the transcendental lila of the Panchatattva. In distributing this love of Godhead. And as we distribute this love of Godhead throughout the streets of Melbourne and beyond, you will see the big smile of Panchatattva on their face. The more we distribute this love of Godhead, the more their smile will be upon us. Who wants the Panchatattva to smile on them? Not very enthusiastic. Try again. Who wants the smile, the beautiful smile of the Panchatattva upon them? Not everyone wants a smile, okay? At least 70-80%. So when the time comes, I want to see you there. So this is the nectar that's available to everyone. Anyone who has been on the December marathon? Who has been on the December marathon? Who has not been to the December marathon? Do you want to taste it? There's nothing like it. I tell you, there's nothing. Even if you've been performing devotional service for how many years, I don't care. But if you never tasted this nectar of the marathon, you are shortchanging yourself. You know what it means, shortchanging? When you go to a shop, you buy something for $2. You give $10, they give you back $3 instead of $8. That means shortchange. So if you have not tasted this nectar of the book marathon in December, you are shortchanging yourself. You don't really know what Krishna consciousness is. It's a fact. I'll put a challenge here. If you go out, even if just one day during the marathon, and you don't taste something more in your spiritual life than what you have been tasted all this time, you come back, you can slap me in my face. I will not. Or you give me a knock on the head. Anyway you want it. Is that deal? But you have to really try it. No cheating involved, okay? Krishna is in everyone's heart. So it's just amazing. I've seen over the years this marathon. I've just seen the face of the devotees who you just complete surrender to a marathon. Their face is just out of this world. The bliss they're experiencing is you can never experience anywhere in this world. It's just out of this. It's an out of this world experience. It's nectar coming fast and thick. I can talk about it. I can talk about it until my tongue touches the ground. But you won't get it unless you taste it. I can tell you how sweet the honey is. Like Prabhupada said, you cannot taste the honey by licking at the bottom of the honey. You have to stick the hand in and suck in the mouth. That's how you taste it. So we are organizing a massive book distribution here. We're going to be distributing so much books here that Melbourne has not seen for a long time. In old days, they used to distribute a lot of books too. But I think they have not distributed that much books in recent years. So we're going to change that this year. We all going to contribute to changing that. Right? Everyone's just a little contribution. What you can do, on the weekend, you'll be organizing groups going out with someone experienced, someone who has done it. You go out with that person as a mentor, a guide. But otherwise, everyone should make at least a commitment to buy 10 books a week and give it out to your friends or colleagues. Buy them, sell. You can sell them, you can give it away, you can give it as a Christmas gift, whatever. Just don't put it in your closet. Right? Just distribute them. Make a commitment. At least 10 books, each one, a week. And then you still gradually get caught up. But when you go out on the street, you can also take those 10 books and go out on the street. You taste it. And this will be very, very pleasing. Because after all, what is our gotra? We're coming from the gotra, the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We come from the Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya, Vaishnava Sampradaya. And in our whole line, we see they're all distributors of transcendental knowledge. Brahmas from the Chatusloki. Right? He heard the Chatusloki, expanded it. And Vyasadeva wrote all these literatures because he knows someday, somewhere, the ISKCON devotees will distribute them. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he go on the street performing Sankirtan. Especially the evening Naga Sankirtan. And he instructed his disciple like Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami to write books. But the books are supposed to be written and then just put on the bookshelf? No, the whole disciplic succession is just preparing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, prolific writer. Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta, he instructed also his disciples to distribute. In fact, when the disciple go to Navadvip and distribute just one magazine, they come back. Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta will be so pleased. And all this is leading down, all the activity of this different acharya leading down to Śrīla Prabhupāda to write all these books. And Prabhupāda once revealed, I was very happy in Goloka. Like one day Krishna asked him, he said, I want you to go down. He said, oh, I don't like this austerity. Krishna said, don't worry. You just go down and write these books. I'll take care of everything. And Prabhupada, of course, he went through, although he didn't like austerity, he went through so much austerity to write these books. And he wants them to be distributed. So you see, the enormity, this is our line. Once you join the ISKCON movement, this is our family business. Our family business is distribution of transcendental knowledge. Distribution of, and the best way to distribute this transcendental knowledge is to distribute books. Otherwise Prabhupada said, what is the use of your 3 minutes of talking? They'll hear, they'll forget. They hear, very nice, and forget. And the next thing, they turn around, oh, nice clothing, oh, nice hi-fi, oh, nice this, nice that, they forget. But if they take a book home, they cannot forget, because the book stays with them. They read it or don't read it. It's on the shelf, one day the book will call out to them. I'm here. Come over here. Right here on the third shelf, the third book. Pick it up, take it out, open. And you open right to that page, exactly what he needs to hear. Revelation. How many times you hear stories like that? Countless times. These books are like time bombs, spiritual time bombs that explode in the heart of people. It will cause a revolution in the heart of modern man. Very, very powerful. Don't underestimate this book, just some printout from some computer, some printer. A very powerful, potent medicine. Bhavavasadhi, transcendental medicine for this age of Kali. So every little effort that we put into it to distribute these books will be so much appreciated. So much appreciated. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is feeling anxiety. So much anxiety. He said, I brought these fruits and it seems like no one is taking them. And it looks like I have to bring it back. But I think it was Advaita Chan. He said, don't worry, my Lord. We will distribute it for you. And that is the mood of the devotee. The mood of the devotee in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, understand this mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, anxiety for the living entities. I came here to distribute this love of Godhead, but seems like nobody wants to take it. So we prayed, my dear Lord, you desire this book to be distributed. I put myself forward, I'll try to do what you want. All I'm asking you is, please empower me. Please invest your energy in me. And I do nothing but just run around all day, distribute your mercy. But unless you invest your energy in me, I will not be able to do anything. So you please, 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 I want to do this to serve you, to please you, please invest your energy in me. Then that should be a prayer. And you pray. Constantly praying this mood, meditation. Praying to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To be empowered. To be a distributor of this transcendental literature. And you'll see wonderful things will happen. And you'll see things beyond your wildest imagination. You see things happening that is beyond your wildest dreams. How can this be happening? How am I doing all these things? How is it possible so many books are going out? And then you realize, it's not me. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is distributing these books. I'm just an instrument. It just flies out from my hands. I'm just an instrument. And he's so kindly using me. You pray. You ask. Ask and thou shalt be given. We know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants it done. Why? Prabhupada has told us time and time and time and time again. He wants it done. So there's no doubt in anyone's mind that this distribution of this transcendental literature is of utmost importance. And not just importance, but urgency. So we know for a fact that Krishna wants this done. The point now is, do we want to do it? Do we want to be part of Krishna's plan? Do we want the mercy? Who wants the mercy? And the mercy will come falling, thick and fast. During this marathon that's going to start on the 19th. Don't miss out. On the bliss. You're going to be so blissed out. So you have to start preparing ourselves now. You cannot wait on the 19th. Oh, 19th today marathon, let's go. No, you have to start. It's already late. How does all this team, sports team, prepare themselves? They prepare themselves months ahead. Like whatever season, their pre-season training. Then they go on tour, pre-season tours, start getting up to speed. It takes them 1 month, 2 months to bring them up to speed before the real competition starts. So we have 3 weeks to build up physically, mentally, spiritually. Start improving on our rounds. Improving on our sadhana. Start getting, intensify it. And intensify our meditation. Start thinking about it, meditating on going out. Just imagine yourself going out. And by the time it comes, you're off like a rocket. You're off. But if you don't start now, when 19 comes, you're going to be like an old crank up car. They need to be pushed. And all these black smoke's coming out. Hey, second gear. One more push. And by the time the car gets started, it's Christmas and it's over. And you have to wait until next year. And they'll store the car in the garage again and wait until next year. You have to start warming up the car, the engine, the tuning up, you know, fine tuning. So that by the 19th come, we are from. And a good way to do it is start now. All of you who are working, start going out once a week on Saturday. Nanda Mandir goes out, Uddhava goes out, a few devotees go out, the Mataji go out. Start going out. Start getting warm up. Don't wait until the 19th to start. Start now. I don't want to overload you. Okay, thank you very much. Yes?
Is there going to be a sanctum tomorrow or something?
Yeah. Okay, so tomorrow, sharp 9:30, Prabhupada's room. Those who want to hear more about book distribution, I have to warn you, if you're not interested in going on book distribution, don't come. Because you're going to be so much infected by it, you have no choice but to go. So if you're not planning to go on books, don't come.